Well, we've reached chapter 21 of Genesis, and finally the little lad's going to get born. It says here, now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him, as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. And she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would have nursed children? Yet I have borne him his son in his old age. Amen. So, the rest of the chapter is about another kind of laugh, which we'll look at in a moment. But two kinds of laughter are what we find in chapter 21. There's the good kind and the not so good kind, as we'll see. But we'll start with the good one first. Let's go on next, please. Then. Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah as he had promised, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Now that's really quite interesting, the use of the word Lord there. You know God's name under L-O-R-D, capital L's. It's the name for God, Yahweh. And it's God who is the covenant God. God has entered into a covenant with Abraham. And so God, when he makes a promise,
keeps it.
And he said that we would have a child. And sure enough, at the time when it happened, was when God said it would do. So he did for Sarah what he had promised. Now, can you apply that to yourselves? Has God made promises for you?
Oh, yes.
Well, he's going to do it then, isn't he? Yeah, he's not been known for making promises that he doesn't keep. So they find out. And you see, Sarah and Abraham, in many ways, are examples for us as believers. Abraham's called the father of the faithful. And so we'll discover some of the things about how God keeps promises. Yeah, next one, please. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Now that's a miracle, you know. It's supernatural, the thing that God did. We'll see that again in a little while. So, then next please. So, now that, where have we gone? We've gone back. Right. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. There. Isaac means? He laughs. Yeah. Yitzhak is the Hebrew way of pronouncing it. But yeah, Yitzhak. Right. Means he laughs. And God gave him the name, he laughs. Right, a little fella. Do you think he was born laughing? I don't know. Maybe not. But yes. Anyway, it's the laughter of joy. Yes. And God promises wonderful things to rejoice in. Next one, please. Yeah? Yeah? When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. And that was part of the promise that Abraham had made to God. God had said that if you're going to be part of my community, my people, you have to circumcise the male boys. The boys, yeah? So, so Abraham did what God had promised him. Yes? Promised to him that his son was included in the covenant. Isaac is the promised one. That's it. It's supernatural. Isaac's the promised one. Next one, please. Yeah? Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Yeah. A wonderful surprise. Do you think Abraham was surprised?
Yeah.
I think he was. I think he'd been told often enough. But you found that, haven't you? You can be told something's going to happen, but when it does, it seems to be a bit of a surprise. Well, there you are. Yeah, what a wonderful surprise. Do you think Abraham was pleased?
Oh, yeah.
So, are you allowed to be glad when God does good things?
Yeah.
Good. I'm pleased to hear that. Right, then, next one, please. Right. And she added, yeah, you'll notice in the picture, Sarah keeps getting younger by the picture, yeah? Anyway, she added, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children, yet I've borne him a son in his old age? Now, it may be, you might think it's remarkable that Abraham had a child at 100. In a sense, that's humanly possible.
Yeah.
But for her to have a child when she's 90 is not humanly possible, it's God possible. That's the only reason it happened, yeah? And it's because God was showing us that his promises and his salvation is something supernatural. Yes, it's something we enjoy because of his working. Right, so, there she is with the little fella. Right, next one, please. Sarah said, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Notice I've highlighted the word laugh with me. They're not laughing at her. That's a different kind of laughing. They're laughing with her. You're glad, you're rejoicing with her. And God has brought me laughter. That's, I mean, if you read it in the original, God's brought me Isaac. Yeah, it's nice, isn't it? Yeah. Isaac's a reminder of God's blessing all the time. His little name is a reminder of God's blessing, yeah. Wow, wonderful. So, they're going to laugh with her. So, you're rejoicing. Question, brothers and sisters. Are you glad when God blesses somebody else?
Oh, yes.
I'm pleased to hear that. Right? Because it's quite easy to get a bit jealous, you know. Right, but we're rejoicing with it. Right, next one, please. The child grew, there he is, little fella, yeah? The child grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. So, something to celebrate. How old would he be when he was weaned, do you think? You say months, it could possibly be years. Yeah. Could possibly be years. I reckon he may be about 2 or 3 years old. Yeah? Sorry? They didn't have dry milk in those days. Right, yes. So, or tins of food either, I suppose, yeah. But anyway, by the time he's ready to get onto the solid stuff, right, there's something to celebrate. So Abraham holds a great feast to celebrate. Yeah, you mark out birthdays, don't you? Yeah, it's gone too fast. Yeah. You can go back if you like, yeah. Yeah. We mark out birthdays and celebration times, don't we? You know, I'm not one really for marking out special days, but God's decided that we should do that. And it's a good thing to make a note of something that's noteworthy, to celebrate that. So God wants you to enjoy his blessings. Right, so next one please, right. But Sarah saw that the son whom Hagar the Egyptian had born to Abraham was mocking. So he's laughing in a different way, yes? And Sarah spotted it. Now, of all the people that would spot it, it would be Sarah, wouldn't it? Yeah? Yeah? And the question is, why, what did he do, and why did he do it? This is Ishmael we're talking about, yeah?
Jealous.
Jealous, I suspect. Maybe just thought this is absolutely crazy. Just remember, for, I guess, now, Ishmael was 13 years old when Isaac was born. So, say 17. He's a teenager. Yeah, by now. And, yeah, you know what teenagers can be like, of course. But I suspect, after all those years of being centre of attention, you know, yeah. It's difficult, isn't it? Yeah. So he's mocking. That's what he's doing. He's mocking. He's not taking anything seriously. And why did he do it? Because he doesn't really believe that this is the child. Because I suspect he must have heard that this little baby is going to be the one that's the promise for him.
Yeah.
I don't think he really accepted that and was making fun of it. Yeah. Yeah. Not good. Not good. Now, but Sarah spotted it. So, next one. Yeah. There's Sarah. Yes. And she said to Abraham, get rid of that slave woman and her son. For that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son Isaac. That's pretty powerful stuff to say, isn't it? What do you think to her reactions?
She said what she thought.
It's how she said it as well, which is the problem as well. Sorry?
It was her that told Abraham to go with Hagar.
It was, yeah, she'd set it up. Yes. Right. But you know there'd been a fallout. I don't think that was ever healed, to be honest. And it's payback time, that's my guess. That's how she feels about it. I'm maybe doing her an injustice, but I think that's what's going on there. I mean, just look how she phrases it. Get rid of that slave woman. That slave woman's her servant. Yeah? Right? And her son. They're supposed to be adopting this lad into their family. Yeah? So, yeah, she's pretty hostile, isn't it? And that woman's son will never share in the inheritance with my son, Isaac. Oh dear. And you know, there are some things you can say, and you need to say them, but it's the way you say them. May not always be the best, yeah? So, anyway, that's what she does. She makes it quite clear. And, bit of a mess coming, isn't there? Next one, please. Right. The matter distressed Abraham greatly because it concerned his son. But it would, wouldn't it? It was his lad. And there are fear for 13 years this life has been the sort of centre of everything, you know. The sad thing about it is Abraham is really upset that this thing's blown up in his face. Well, it was their making, but yeah, you know, that's how it is. But what might have been, now, the reason I ask that is, you know, Ishmael is in a place where he could be blessed. And if he'd gone along with what God had said and promised in Isaac, he'd have been blessed too, I'm sure. Yeah. I'll just give you a comparison of that. David and Jonathan. You read about them in the Bible many, many centuries later. David was promised to be king, but Jonathan was son of the present king, King Saul. He should have been the next king. And yet Jonathan recognized that God had said that David would be king. And in recognizing that, Jonathan was blessed. He goes down in the record as a great guy, an honourable man. Yeah? And he loved David. Yeah, he recognised God had said that this guy is going to be the king, and went along with it, and got blessed. Why didn't Ishmael do that? Could have done. What might have been? Shame, isn't it, really? Lesson for you, brothers and sisters. If God's chosen somebody else, don't get upset about it. You just honour that. Yeah? And you go along with what God's doing, and you'll find out the blessing comes your way as well. Anyway, sad. Next then, please. But God said to him, "Do not be so distressed about the boy and your slave woman. Listen to whatever Sarah tells you, because it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Isn't that interesting? Yeah? So, God goes to Abraham somehow and tells him, I know you're upset, but don't be too upset, because this is how it's got to be. Yeah? Listen to whatever Sarah tells you. How about that, gentlemen? On this occasion. Even though, another thing that strikes me, in spite of what's happening, this is a family bust-up. This is a dysfunctional family. The whole book of Genesis is about dysfunctional families, it seems to me. Yeah? But this is one of them. Yeah? And yet, God's at work in them. It's astounding, isn't it? So God can use pretty rough material. Yeah? God can use rough material to make some wonderful things. So, in spite of what's happening, God's at work. And what is he doing? By allowing this rift to occur. I read in one commentary, and I think I agree with it. God's making sure that Ishmael doesn't become an influence on Isaac. Yeah? And so there's that sort of separation has to be. It's difficult, it's terrible, but it's life. If you make a mess, you have to live with the consequences. And some of the consequences are a bit of a heartache at times. So that's what's happening here, yeah? Right, the next week. I put a picture of a sweetener in. God gives him a sweetener, yeah? "I will make the son of the slave into a nation also, because he is your offspring." Yeah? Isn't that interesting? Now, the interesting thing about this verse and the previous verse is that God says to Abraham, Isaac's going to be your offspring. Seed is the word that's used, yeah? But he says, so he's the one that's going to be the one that brings the Messiah, yeah? Right? He's the chosen one, yeah? But he says, "I'm going to bless him because he's one of your seed." Right? Same word. Right? So Ishmael is going to be blessed because he's Abraham's son. Yeah? God still makes promises, you know, and he meant to keep. He said, "I'll bless him." He'd made that promise to Abraham, and he's going to keep blessing him. Right? So, that's good, at least that made Abraham feel a bit better about doing it, I guess. But some things you've got to do, friends. You've got to do what you've got to do. And split is what's necessary in this situation. Right, next one, please. "Early the next morning, Abraham took some food and a skin of water and gave them to Hagar. He set them on her shoulders and then sent her off with the boy." The word boy doesn't mean he's a child by any means, you know. Just to add that in, yeah. Early the next morning, you'll see Abraham's good at early mornings, but why did he do it early next morning?
Because it's not so hot.
Because it's not so hot, that's a good one, yeah. Straight away. If you're going to do something that's difficult, do it before you have to get stalled and delayed and procrastinate, yeah. So Abraham says, well, if I've got to do it, I've got to do it now. So, early the next morning. So he gets all this and effectively he's disinheriting his boy, Ishmael, isn't he? That's what he's saying, you're out. That's it. Just a little question before we look at those little details. Why does he give her just a small amount of food and water? It's fairly little. I mean, all they can carry is not a great deal, is it, I suppose, on your shoulders.
It wouldn't last in the heat anyway, would it?
Wouldn't last in the heat. Depends if it was tins, it'd be alright, wouldn't it?
He knows God's
They didn't do tins in those days.
He knows that God's going to look after us.
He knows that God's going to look after him. That's a good one.
To be,
yeah. I read a comment, and that's worth thinking about. Was Abraham expecting them not to go too far away?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Because you don't have to go too far to be disinherited, do you? Maybe that was his thought, you know, just get him down the road, out of the town a bit, or whatever, you know? Think about this now. He's about 17 years old, this Ishmael. Right? What would be the effect on him and being kicked out of his house after 13 years of being bee's knees? Serious rejection. Yeah, serious rejection, anger. And, you know, I think that's what's been spilled over into some of the Arab nations, really. That's part of the problem, you know, I suspect, this sense of rejection. Although God is, you see, blesses Ishmael, but that rejection must have come hard, really. I mean, I wouldn't have liked to be in that position. Yeah, chucked out, no longer wanted. No good. Yeah, so he's going to have a big chip on his shoulder, I guess. That's his problem. Yeah. Next slide, please. Right. She went on her way and wandered in the desert of Beersheba. That is a photo of the desert of Beersheba.
Wow.
You were wondering in that. How long do you think you'd last? Oh dear. On a hot day as well. Yeah, I've provided the sunshine to give you the feeling, you know, the place. Yeah, right. Okay. So that's where they wondered. She got lost, I suspect. Yeah, next one, please. Right. When the water in the skin was gone, she put the boy under one of the bushes. He's obviously flagging seriously. Then she went up and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. So she seems to be able to last a bit more than the lad. I don't know if he'd been running around or something, but he's getting seriously heat stroke and dehydration, I suspect, is what's happening. And it can be a killer, you know that.
Yeah.
That's a warning for you, for our weather. Yeah. Just be very careful out there in the sunshine, yeah? So she's depressed, seriously, yeah? Next one, please. As she sat there, she began to sob. And God heard the boy crying. It's a mess, isn't it? It's terrible. I mean, what a state to get in. I mean, it's partly their making. You know, but it doesn't make it any easier when you're suffering, you know, it's your fault. Probably makes it worse in a way. But what a mess. Terrible, what situation to get. The boy's crying, she's crying, and they're losing water crying, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh dear. Next one, please, yeah. And the angel of the Lord, God, angel of God, it's God now, rather than the Lord, because Ishmael's taken out of the covenant. The angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, what is the matter, Hagar? Don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. So God steps in once again for them, which is lovely. But some interesting little bits, this. The angel appears to Hagar and says, don't be afraid. God has heard the boy crying. Well, she was crying as well. So why does God say, or why does the angel say, God's heard the boy crying? I thought about it this morning. I think I've got some light on it. I read it this morning, just as a warm up, you know. And it struck me, I've been thinking about it all week. Why did God say God's heard the boy? She's a mother, you see, that's what it is. She's a mother, and she cares about how her boy's doing. And God says to her, the boy, I've heard the boy. I care about him.
Mm.
Yeah? I think it's a comfort to a mum to know that God's looking after your kid.
Mm.
I think that's what's going on.
Mm.
It sounds like it to me anyway. So, God steps in mercy again. Right? She hears this angel say, God's heard the boy. Right, next one, please. Yeah? Lift up the boy and take him by the hand. Give him a hand up, yes? For I will make him into a great nation. So, I suspect it wasn't just that he was near death's door, but
it's hot,
and I think depression can flatten you.
Mm.
Yeah. He's really, really down. Mm. Anger burns up energy as well. But the angel says, go and give him a lift up. Yeah. And I'm going to make him into a great nation. That's a promise. Did God, well, you'll see later on in Genesis, does God keep his promises?
Yeah.
You'll be sure he does, yes. Right. So, basically he's saying to her, you know, there's a hope. We've got a future. You've got a future. Trust me. You've got to trust God again. Yeah? So, listen please. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. How about that? God opened her eyes. I think that's amazing, you know. That God does that to me many a time. Mm-hmm. I'm looking for something, it's right in front of my nose and I don't see it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? You've been there?
Yeah.
Well, she's never seen the well, she didn't see it. Now, it's possible it was a supernatural well that God made, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it could, well, I think it's just that she's so depressed, she's so sad, she doesn't see it. For some reason or other. I mean, it wasn't like this, it wasn't all full of grass all around and everything. It was probably just a hole in the ground with a slab on it or something like that. But anyway, it's a well. And there's water, right? And so God steps in to provide water for her. And so she fills up the skin with water, so she's got a fresh supply again. Do you think the water tasted good?
Oh, yeah.
God gives you good things, you know. Even if you've fallen out with him. She has, and the son has, yeah? Right, okay, so, what can you see? Well, there's a lesson, friends. You know, for me, anyway. What can you see? You don't see things really until God shows you. It's often the case, you know. I don't just mean on the physical, natural level. And that's true about things I've put down and can't find. Yeah, but on the spiritual level, you don't see unless God opens your eyes. I mean, I think back. I'm sure you could say the same before you became a Christian. I bet you read the Bible a bit.
Yeah.
I read the Bible before I was a Christian. Huh? Great book. Didn't make any sense, but good book. And then when I became a Christian, oh, it suddenly became, the light turned on, wasn't it? Yeah. Right, God's story. It's all about Jesus. Makes sense. Next slide, please. Yeah. Right. God was with the boy as he grew up. How about that? The lad who was mocking the promise still gets blessed. Why? Because he's one of Abraham's. God's good to you because he made promises to Abraham. How about that? I was talking to someone the other day about the Jews returning to the promised land. And he was saying, well, then most of them don't believe in Jesus, do they? I mean, you know, why should God do that for them? And the answer is, because he made a promise to Abraham.
Mm-hmm.
That's the answer. Yeah? And I was reading this morning, in Moses is telling the people about how they're going to enter the promised land. And he says, you're going to go into places where there's houses that have been built, you never built them. You're going to enjoy vineyards, you never planted them, you know. All of this stuff. And when you get there, don't think it's because you're so good that God's got you there. The reason I'm chucking them out is they're so wicked.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm judging them because they're wicked, he says. And then he says, don't think it's your righteousness that's got you all this. I'm doing this because I made a promise to the fathers. And the other thing is, you're stiff-necked. How about that? Yeah. So, it's grace, brothers and sisters. God does what God does because God's promised them. I'm into that, right? Good old lad. He becomes an archer. Yes, he was the first archer. Yes. Okay. He's an outdoor boy. Well, his one of his relatives called Esau was just the same later on, as you'll see. But anyway, next please. While he was living in the desert of Paran, when he says he lives in the desert, that doesn't mean to say it's all sand, you know. It's sort of out of the way place, I suppose you'd say, yeah? Right. His mother got a wife for him from Egypt, so she was a marriage fixer, wasn't she?
Mm-hmm.
Right. One? Yeah?
She was an Egyptian herself, wasn't she?
She was an Egyptian herself! So naturally she'd go and find an Egyptian lass for him.
Mm-hmm.
So they married and they lived happily ever after, didn't they?
No.
They must have done, because they got descendants by the ton. Mm-hmm. Well, how happily is, I don't know, but they definitely lived after, no doubt, yeah? So, that's the story. Now, next please, yeah? Right. Now, the New Testament says something about this account, yeah? And it comes from Galatians, so we're going to do a little search of what the New Testament says about this passage. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son, by the slave woman, was born according to the flesh. He was naturally born, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But his son by the free woman was born as the result of a divine promise. It was supernatural. So that's Ishmael and Isaac. Right, next slide please. Right, now Paul says this. These things may be taken figuratively. In other words, we'll look at the story, but we can see something behind it as well. They tell a story as well as the story. Yeah? So that's what we're doing. We're taking it figuratively. He says, the women represent two covenants. Yeah? Hagar and Sarah represent two covenants. One is the old covenant. That's what was given to the Israelites at the time of Mount Sinai. Yeah? And there's the new covenant that's given as Jesus gave his life for us. Yeah? So the two women represent two covenants, Paul's saying. This is how you could picture it. Next slide, please. Yeah? One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem because she's in slavery with her children. It probably sounds a bit complicated this, but I'll try and explain what he's getting at. He's saying is that Hagar is the picture of what happened with the Jews. Yeah? They were given this covenant at Mount Sinai and they didn't keep it. They broke it. And they've become slaves as a result of that. They're slaves to the law. They're trying to earn God's goodness by do, 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 keep, keep, keep. They become slaves. That's what Paul was up against all the time. And so he's saying that Hagar represents that. She gave birth to, the slave woman gave birth to children who were slavery, in slavery in that sense. Yeah? One interesting little thing is, Mount Sinai is in Arabia. That's what Paul says. So, if you look at the maps of your Middle East thing, and you see the Sinai Peninsula, you know, if you get your maps out, the Sinai Peninsula is not where Mount Sinai is. They've never found any evidence of the Israelites being in Mount Sinai, in the Sinai Peninsula. You know why? Because Mount Sinai is in Arabia. You go over the water, you'll find it, yeah? They have, as well, I'm quite sure of that, yeah? Anyway, so it says it's like present-day Jerusalem, that was first century Jerusalem. There, many people had rejected Jesus, were trying to earn God's acceptance through the rules and the regulations. Doesn't work. You become a slave. That's one side. Next, please. The other side, but the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. How about that? So, the covenant that comes with Jesus produces the new Jerusalem, and that's above. We're going to look at that on Wednesday. The new Jerusalem's coming down to earth. Did you know that? Very good. Well, that's what it looks like. Well, ish, you know. Okay, so we belong to that. Next slide, please. So, now then. Now you, brothers and sisters, like Isaac, are children of the promise. At that time, the son born according to the flesh persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. And what he wrote 2,000 years ago still applies. Yeah? The ungodly, the unbelieving, will have a go at you. Did you know that?
Yes.
Are you surprised?
No.
Well, please, yes, because it's how it is. And he's saying that happened right at the beginning of the whole process of God bringing the Redeemer into the world. The one, the natural one, persecutes the spiritual one. Yeah? Right. And so what does Scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son. For the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Notice what Paul says there.
Yeah.
He says, what does Scripture say? Well, who said it? Sarah said it. She said, oh, get rid of that woman and her kid. Don't belong to us.
Yeah. Yeah.
She said it. But why does Paul say Scripture says? Because it's written down in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's got more than what just Sarah said about it. It's what God is saying to us. You've got to get rid of the slave stuff. You've got to separate.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? And so, therefore, brothers and sisters, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. Is that right?
Yeah.
You sure now?
Thanks
a lot. Right.
Well,
but the good news is, the interesting news is, you were once the child of the slave woman.
Mm-hmm.
But you've been adopted out of slavery into freedom through faith in Jesus. That's amazing, isn't it? Yeah. That could have happened to Ishmael, I'm quite sure. Yeah? So, you may be born a slave, but you don't have to stay one. When you come to trust in Jesus, you become free. If the Son shall set you free,
you are free
indeed. Amen to that. Right, next then, please. Right, so, this is it. You're born free when you're born again. Right. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Now, I don't want to go into the whole of Galatians for you, but it's this. Paul is writing to Christians who were wanting to become Jews in order to be, because they were being told by some of the law people, right, they were being told, you're a second-class Christian. What you really need to be, if you want to be a first-class Christian, yeah, believe in Jesus, but you become keeping the law as well, you know. Right? And Paul is saying is, if you do that, you become a slave. Yeah? And so he's saying is, you were born free through Jesus, hold on to it. Yes? Appreciate what God has done for you. It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Of course, just to add this as a little warning, and a proviso, dear friends, is, if you're born free and you've been set free, does that mean to say you run around and do every stupid thing you like because it's okay?
No.
Good, I'm glad you got that. Right. The law is there to guide you. It won't save you, but it will certainly guide you. That's what Paul was trying to get to them, right? Yeah? Okay. That's it, I think, is it? Yes! So, born free, eh? Have you been born free? Good. Right, well, it's a funny old passage. It's a really strange passage, isn't it? I mean, family problems? Can you believe it? We've not even started. There's more to come. When we get to Jacob's happy home. Anyway, let's pray. Lord, you can work in the mess that we make of our lives. Lord, that's so good to know. Lord, that you're able to take the weak, the broken, the damaged, the disinherited, and bring them into somewhere that is so precious and special. Thank you, Lord, you did it because you made the promise to Abraham. He didn't earn it, Lord. He didn't deserve it. But you were good to him because you promised. And Lord, through him, we can know the blessings too. Thank you, Father, for all you've promised to do through Jesus, your Son. Help us, Lord, to realize the freedoms that we have and to value them. Not to misuse them, Lord, but to honor you. And Lord, to rejoice in the freedom we have. Lord, that we may have our Isaac and laugh for joy at what God has done for us. We ask your blessing, Father, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.